Its current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. The Tony Award for Best Broadway Musical Revival back in 2012 went to the Gershwins, Porgy and Bess. And the company touring the country with Porgy and Bess is in East Lansing this week for 8 performances at MSU's Wharton Center. We're delighted to have the actors portraying Porgy and Bess with us on Current State Today. Porgy, Nathaniel Stampley, welcome to East Lansing.
Good morning.
And Bess is Alicia Hall Moran.
Hello.
Welcome. It's great to see you both, and we're glad you could join us here today. This production is described as not being the opera, but rather a staging in the more traditional musical theater format. What does that mean in terms of the audience experience?
Well, I think if you're familiar with the opera, you're going to come to this particular production and you're going to notice that there's a lot more dialogue than previously were sung through the whole time in the opera. But in this production, we have, you know, actual book scenes in the show. But the value of having the wonderful songs from the show are all still there. Mm-hmm. So I Got Plenty of Nuttin', It Ain't Necessarily So, Summertime, mm-hmm. all the great songs that you know about Porgy and Bess are in the production.
Explain the story to people, though, who've never seen a production of Porgy and Bess.
Well, pardon, you're getting my morning diva voice, which we would wake up in 4 hours.
We would expect nothing else.
Well, you know, Bess is a woman who has a drug addiction and a love of the attention of men, needs comfort and support in the world. Mm-hmm. And Porgy is, in the 1935 word, a cripple. And he has this physical affliction, but he loves, sets his sights on Bess. And when Bess's big boyfriend, murders someone, Bess is left on her own in the town, and Porgy really takes her in when no one else will. Mm-hmm. And they have a love that emerges from their kind of her bottom feeding and his really kind of, I think, high-minded ideals about the, you know, possibilities for humanity. What do you think?
Is that your take on it, Nathaniel?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the core of the story, it's a love story. And it's the kind of love that, you know, many of us have experienced that will absolutely change your life. And so, you know, all of the characters from the beginning of the show to the end, they are not the same. We see them change. And it's purely through the power of love. And we get to hear wonderful music of George Gershwin's and, you know, wonderful dancing and great costumes, but just overall a great night of theater.
What's your favorite moment in the performance, Alicia?
Well, I think it's part of the genius of our director, Diane Paulus, that she somehow orchestrated for what is really traditionally an opera, some really wonderful musical theater what would you call these, devices. So there's a moment when the entire ensemble, as in like a chorus line, turns around, faces the audience, and sings the most beautiful chorale by the water. And I think probably that's my favorite moment. But I also like to sing with Nate. We have a beautiful duet or two. And I usually, by the end of each, have some emotional reaction that surprises me and surpasses my...
Every performance?
Every single one. Because, you know, when you're singing, you could just stress one word over another word one night, and it will bring you dramatically to an entirely different place. So some nights I feel at the end of I Loves You, Porgy, you know, that if I let him go, I will fall off the end of the earth. Mm. Sometimes that's because I have to leap onto his lap, and if the chair feels rickety, we might really go over, but, you know, you're really clinging to this man. And then other nights, my own feeling about Bess, and she's so road weary, and her legs are weak, her body's weak, she's just got nothing, and she's at the bottom, you know, the pit of an addiction. She's just at her, she's hit bottom, mm-hmm. and he still will hold her. The only person in the world who will have her whole at that moment.
What a gift, though,
you know?
To be in a play, to be in a production that you can alter in, or are all productions like that? I mean, do you play with the dialogue in the way that you just mentioned in other productions as well that makes it feel different, that keeps it fresh?
The skills I've learned in other productions, I bring them all to bear in this piece. This piece has this magical ability to contain everything I've learned as a classical musician, everything I've learned singing jazz with a microphone in front of a small club audience. I can bring everything I know to this piece, and that's just not even appropriate somewhere else. I'm not going to bring what I know about Duke Ellington to much Mozart, but the Gershwin can take it. That's my answer.
How much did you know about Porgy and Bess, Nathaniel, before you landed the roles on Broadway?
Quite a bit. When I was in high school, I was in the opera chorus. I grew up in Milwaukee, and I was in the chorus of the full-length opera when I was in high school. And I knew that score inside and out. It's definitely, as a teenager, you know, you learn everyone's lines, all the musical, you know, even when you're not around, you're just absorbing everything.
Alicia, what about you? When did you first become aware of it? You
the
knew
music.
The music.
Yeah. And the story, you know, African-American people, I mean, I'm just so attached to the artists who have been attached to that piece. Sammy Davis, Leontine Price. So it just kind of comes up. And my voice teacher at Manhattan School of Music, Adele Addison, was the voice of Dorothy Dandridge in the film.
Mm. Oh, how interesting.
Yes. And, you know, she never really would talk about it, actually. So Porgy and Bess is kind of a tucked away experience for many people. And it kind of is funny, you know, don't you find it comes out in a conversation when they say, oh, yeah, my mom used to play those songs for us all the time in the kitchen. Or, oh, yeah, you know, my grandfather was one of the first, did it in, you know, knew the guy who did it. You know, it's kind of like a thing that a lot of people have a very faint attachment to, especially in our community.
Well, the different generations have really, you know, it just keeps evolving, really, in the way that the story is treated and in the way that it's presented. Let's talk a little bit about the historical significance here. I mean, the integration of audiences in the 1930s. What was significant here in the evolution of this thing?
Well, yeah, In the 30s, they were on, you know, the show premiered in 1935 at the Colonial Theater in Boston. And a few years later, they took the show on the road. Well, one of the stops was at the National Theater in D.C. And Todd Duncan and Anne Brown, the original Porgy and Bess, they refused to perform because the house wasn't integrated. And, you know, they got a lot of heat from producers and presenters, but eventually, you know, the presenters had to give in, and it was the first time the National Theater was integrated. So, I mean, it's a wonderful history of just wonderful artists touching and gracing this piece, but also, like, the piece touching lives of many, many people, not just in the U.S., but around the world. But you're telling this incredible story from a tiny community in South Carolina.
Right.
In Charleston.
Gullah Island?
Yeah, exactly. But it's told in a way that it's a universal love story.
And it's amazing to consider in 2014, but there were all white presentations of Porgy and Bess at one point in time. I mean, to illustrate how far we have gone with this and how it really reflects everything else that's going on in this country.
And we did bring the tour to National Theater. We were invited to perform it there. It's a beautiful week for the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I remember someone asking me, how did it feel to be in this iconic piece and this really kind of contentious bit of history with it at the National Theater? And I remember, I just thought that I was so proud of the current management there, the executive decision to bring the piece in. You know, people really don't have to opt in to face their own segregated past, and they did it beautifully. I just thought, you know, that's what's changed.
You really have to be what they call a triple threat in this production, though. Here, you got to be able to sing, and dance and act. Does it challenge you particularly in that way? I mean, not everybody is cut out for a role in this production.
Yes, that's very true. I think, you know, in a production like this where, you know, you're working with an award-winning Broadway director, you know, and Diane Paulus, she has a certain aesthetic that, you know, will challenge any artist on the stage. And so her thing is about presenting truth all the time. And so your truth, you know, needs to be in your movement. It needs to be in your voice. It also needs to be in everything that you do and how you walk and smell and communicate with everyone on stage. So I think that in itself is the challenge. And audiences nowadays, you know, you can't just park and bark anymore as they do in some operas. Like, you want to see a full package of someone living in this community. You know, you can't just be a pretty face and you can't sing or can't dance, but, you know, you look great. Those days are over, I believe. You know, audiences demand more, and we demand more of ourselves as artists.
My wife attended last night's performance, and we were up way too late talking about this thing, and we got up this morning, and we're still talking about. She's telling me all about it, but she was really struck by how engaged the audience is during this. Do you detect that? Do you detect various levels of engagement when you're performing? I take it you must.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we get a chance to do this show 8 times a week. And as Alicia was alluding to, there is no one show that is the same. So, you know, if she has a different inflection in her voice or an audience will respond to a laugh that we didn't know was there, or, you know, every house is different. Every performance is different. But what's moving for us is that, you know, I always like to say what's great about live theater is that it truly is a communal experience. So for a silent moment to exist, we all have to be in agreement, not just the performers on stage, but including the crew, the ushers out front, and even the audience. So for that silent moment to truly exist, we all have to be in agreement for us to enjoy what live theater truly can be, which is, you know, just beyond just, you know, normal pedestrian living, mm-hmm. You know, and so there are many nights where I'm just chilled by a silent audience because you know, you sort of have them in the palm of your hand.
That's great. This has been very special. We want to thank our guests, Nathaniel Stampley and Alicia Hall Moran. They portray Porgy and Bess in the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess through Sunday at the Wharton Center. Many thanks.
We'll see you there.
Good luck.
Thank you.